David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. You got your Bible and you ought to have it. I want you to open it. Let's start at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to do much preaching this morning, just some thoughts. Tonight I'll try to get you a good kingdom message. But this morning, just a few scriptures and a few thoughts project to you where we're at and some things that we're doing so you'll know more about what's going on. How many understand that we are now in war? You don't have to wait for Armageddon. Huh? You say a lot of us are waiting for Armageddon. Well, don't wait for Armageddon. You're in war right now. I'm going to show you in just a second in the scriptures that you right now are fighting darkness. And that's what Armageddon is light and darkness clashing. We are in war right now, and it's not World War I or World War II. It's not war with the nations. It's not some war that's with flesh and blood. But it's a war that we're having right now. Right now. Are all the children in the back? I guess they are. We don't have very many seats, do we? We better get that building this next week. We aren't waiting for war. We're in war. And it's not a world war. It's a universal war. The war that we're fighting right now is the war in the universe with the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in the high places. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Well, let's back up to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, does that say that we will one day wrestle with them? Or that one day we have wrestled with them? What is this saying to us? We are wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness. The New American Standard Bible there, it says that our struggle is not against. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is in the universal areas, in the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. We really don't have to worry about the USSR. What I have to worry about mostly in my individual life is the darkness between my ears. That's where my real battlefield is, and that's where your real battlefield is. I don't have to worry about a battlefield over in Israel. I've got to worry about the battlefield between my ears, and it's going on right now. And if I project that on from my individual life, it's going on in my family right now. And if I project that on into our church, it's going on in our church right now. And if I project that on into our city, it's going on in our city right now. Are you with me? It's going on right now. We don't have to wait to fight. You need to be fighting now. Right now, we are wrestling. The word world there is interesting. When we think of world, we think of it as the earth, this ball of dirt that we are gravitated to. And that's not at all what that word means. That word is the Greek word aion, A-I-O-N. It's number 165 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means an age. And in fact, the New American Standard Bible says world forces of this darkness. And the Amplified Bible says the world forces at this present darkness, which I'm going to amplify on in just a second. But the word world, aeon, means an age. It means a period of time. We are wrestling with the principalities in the darkness of this period of time. And it means the Messiah period, present or future. This present darkness. Amplified Bible says, this present darkness. We are wrestling, struggling with the world rulers at this present darkness. And I really want to get on this thought just for a few seconds. This present darkness. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul nearly 2,000 years ago. What do you think they were wrestling with, the same present darknesses at that point that we're wrestling with today? They are, but there's also other present darknesses. And I really want to think about this and get your minds to come forth with some thoughts and to help me. What if I put up here pornography? Help me spell it. P-O-R-N-O-G-R-A-P-H-Y. Is that close enough? Now, this is a present darkness. Do you see what I'm saying? This is a present darkness that's in this city. This is a present darkness that can be in this church. This is a present darkness that could be in my family. This is a present darkness that could be between my ears. Could I wrestle with it? You see, that's what Paul is trying to tell us. There are some present realities of present darkness that no other generation's probably ever had to face quite like we're having to face it today. Help me, give me some more. Give me some more. Present darknesses that are homosexuality. Now, these are things that have been in types all the way through. For example, back in the days of Joshua, they worshipped the god Molech, which was a god, which was a furnace god. And what they did to Molech is they took the babies and they would throw them into Molech's furnace, sacrifice babies. We call it abortion. So there are those things. They've always been present, but they're maybe a little bit different today. And they had their temples and where they had their sexual goddesses and gods and so forth. So some of these things are relevant, but at the same time, they are present darknesses to us. Give me some more that we are wrestling with today.
Humanism,
that's a good one. Man is God. All right. What's more?
Drugs.
All right. Now you see. I know that's not right. But that's good. But you see the thought that Paul is trying to present to us here. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Don't wait for Russia and Gog and Magog. People, let's get an understanding of what the Bible's trying to tell us. It is present darkness. It is a darkness that we're fighting right now. We're fighting with these things right now in our minds. We're fighting with them right now in our homes, are we?
Amen.
We're fighting with them right now in our church. We're fighting with them right now in our city.
Amen.
Now, this is what we're wrestling with. Now, let's read it again in that light. For we are not struggling. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, of this world, of this time, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where is your high place? Right between your ears. And that's where you're wrestling. And that's where you're fighting. And that's where you're having your battles, your Armageddons. You don't have to wait on it. Now, what are our, as a church, as Christians, I'm not the only preacher in the world today standing up and preaching about pornography, abortion, homosexuality, humanism, drugs, alcoholism. I'm not the only one standing up and preaching against those things, do you think? No.
But what alternatives are we giving to the world? What can we do? How can we help? How can we help a young woman in problem, having a problem, or in a problem here with abortion? What can we do? What are we doing? You see, we can stand. I can stand up here and preach about it till I'm blue in the face. But unless we're offering an alternative, all I'm doing is talking. And he says, don't just be hearers of the word only, but be what?
Doers.
And we can talk about it, and that's what we've done for 2,000 years. We've talked about it. God's saying, I want a people to rise up who's going to offer some alternatives to the world. Amen. Who's going to get something out here so that it'll be more attractive to be a Christian than it will to be in the world. Amen. The world has their alternative to alcoholism. The world has their alternative to drugs. The world, they work on these things, but are they being corrected? What is the only correction? Jesus. He is the only alternative. So what we must do as a body, we have got to come against these things first in our individual lives, in our families, in our church, and in our city. But we've got to come up with a way of offering to the city an alternative. We've got to have a way out for a woman in trouble. We've got to show deliverance to the homosexual.
Amen.
We've got to come forth with some answers. And God's trying to raise up a people in these last days, a church with all of the answers. Remember that scripture in Ephesians 1? He wants to show to the world the mystery of the church with all of the answers.
Hallelujah.
What are we, let's bring it, make it real personal. What are we as a body or as a fellowship doing about these things that I have on the board? What are we, now I know individually we're doing little things here and little things there, writing some letters, doing some things, doing a lot of things. But what are we as a body of believers doing about it other than preaching about it? Are we really moving in an area of projecting to this city Jesus Christ in these areas? Does this city need another church? What should the church be doing about these things? This city doesn't need another church, but what it does need is a dominant church. It needs a church that will be dominant over the kingdom of darkness, and a church that will bring these things to an issue head and make them shown before the city. This is an issue in our town. This is an issue in our churches. This is an issue in our family. This is an issue in our individual lives, people. God's wanting to raise up a people who will make these things issues and then give an alternative about it. Here's the answer. I don't know all the answers. You don't know all the answers. But I know who does know all the answers. And all we got to do is hook up with Him. All we got to do is hook up and get His wisdom, get the mind of Christ, and then let that mind be in us. We can come forth with some answers to some of these problems and bring forth a dominant church in this area. Something that is really ministering. Really, really, really ministering to the city. A church that will attack political arenas when it's corrupt. A church that will attack pornography. A church that will attack abortion. A church, that's what God's wanting to raise up. Do you agree with what I'm speaking?
Amen.
All right. Now, what are we going to do about it? I don't want to preach the same message 6 months from now, you know, and say, hey, remember back 6 months ago I talked about. I want to start moving in that area. I want to go after the kingdom of God because, people, this is what the kingdom of God is really about. Amen. What the kingdom of God is really about is possessing back the land that the enemy has taken.
Amen.
Possessing back these things and getting them back into the lineup with the Word of God. Am I right?
Amen. You're right.
That's the kingdom. And He wants a church today who can do that, who will do that. He's just looking for a people who will be obedient to Him. Do we realize that there is not a strong voice against these things in this local area? Do we realize that? Does there need to be a strong voice against these things?
Amen.
Do we need to really get really active against these issues that I've got listed on this board? Do we as a body, as a fellowship, need to rise up and be counted? Do we need to rise up and speak the Word of God? Speak these things out. Destroy them.
Amen.
If we do this, are people going to pat us on the back and say, "Boy, you're doing a good job. Boy, we're really proud. We've got a dominant church in this area now, and we're really glad that you guys are really bringing these things out and making issues of them, and that you're really having articles in the newspaper, and you're really putting some things across on the radio station, and you're really saying some good things, and we're really proud of you, and we really want to support you." Are they going to say that? Do you suppose they'd persecute us?
Amen.
You better believe they'll persecute us. Because what are we fighting against? What are we struggling against? What are we wrestling against? Principalities and powers. You see, they don't want these things to be made an issue to really attack them and have a dominant church in this area that's going to offer some alternatives to some world problems. But does God want something like that?
Amen.
Do you want to be a body like that? Do you want to be a fellowship like that that's constantly being persecuted, that people are constantly talking about, that people are really coming down on you about? Do you want to be a part of a body like that?
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
I really do. Let's turn to Matthew real quick. Yeah, if you want to, you're in the right place.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5. Now, there's a lot of churches persecuted, right?
Amen.
Some of them are persecuted for the right reasons. Some of them are just persecuted. But look at verse 10. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the
kingdom
of God." Do you understand that persecution comes with the kingdom?
Amen.
You can't separate the kingdom and persecution. Now, you can get in the other kingdom and not be persecuted. You can get a preacher that's going to preach to you what you want to hear and all the goodies and all that stuff. But I promise you, if you're receiving some persecution, you're in the right kingdom. Because they come together. The kingdom of God and persecution just happen hand in hand. Because what are we wrestling against? Principalities and powers of darkness of this present age. And then look at verse 11. "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and what?
Persecute
you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." Make sure it's falsely. "For my sake." Rejoice and what? "Be exceeding glad." And Luke says, "Leap for joy." Are we leaping? I mean, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, which were before you." Persecution and the kingdom come together. And I promise you, as we began as a dominant church in this local area, as we began to come against these things, persecution follows. Persecution follows. It's hand in hand with the kingdom. Matthew 13, these are not in my notes, and I wasn't going to be this lengthy altogether, but they're just some things that maybe we need to bring out a little bit. Matthew 13. The story of the seed and the sower, verse 21. Jesus talking about it here. He's talking about one of the seeds. And look in verse 21. He says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, this particular seed is offended." But persecution and tribulation is part of the word. It's part of the kingdom. You can't separate it. You just can't separate it. Now, the kingdom of God, and that's what he's really talking about here in Matthew 13, is what the kingdom of God is likened unto. But the kingdom of God will have persecution. But blessed are you. Have you got that? You will be persecuted if we attack these things, if we go to war in the way that God wants to raise up a dominant church in this area to go to war. You will be persecuted. But blessed are you. Okay? Now, Mark chapter 12. Verse 41. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld what the people cast money." How? Let's do it again. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury." The New American Standard says how. The Living Bible says watched as the crowds dropped in their money. The NIV says he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. The Phillips translation says he watched the people putting money into it. Now, Jesus was in the temple, wasn't he? Watching people put their monies, how they put their monies into the temple treasury. Can you kind of picture him just leaned up there, looking at it? Can you kind of see that? Do you suppose that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
Do you suppose he's still leaned up over there against the temple treasury, watching how we give? Not what we give, but how we give. I believe that Jesus is still watching how the people give. We are in need of a building. And what this is all about this morning is that we've got to have a facility so that we can go to war against these things. But we've got to be in a place where we can offer an alternative. We've got to be able to offer something to young people so that we can eliminate the attraction of that one. We've got to be able to, in a place where we can minister to people so that we can eliminate this one. You see, we've got to be in a position, in a facility, have an area where we can really minister to people so that we can eliminate this one, and this one, and this one. But we've got to be in an area so that we can do it. We've got to be in a complex that can support such an operation as that. And Jesus is calling us. The words have come forth week after week after week. He's raising us up to do a great work. Amen. The principle here in these scriptures is that Jesus watched not what they gave, but how they gave. Jesus isn't so interested in how much you give. How are you giving it? You see, as we go after this building, and we will have this building.
Amen.
But as we go after this building, we've got to understand some principles in the Word of God. The way that God has always financed His kingdom is through the giving of His people. He's always financed His kingdom by the giving of His people. Now, This building started off at when we approached the owner of it. And the building that I'm speaking of is the one right directly across from First Baptist Church, the old Bible hardware building. And I'm talking about a city block excluding one little corner. That's the building that I'm talking about. When we first approached Sam Bible, he wanted $185,000 for that building. We got discouraged because we weren't capable of paying Sam Bible $185,000. So we began to pray and seek God about it. We prayed, God, you change Sam Bible's heart. But then we also began to pray, God, if we're wrong, you change our heart. If this property is worth $185,000 and you want us to have that property worth $185,000, then you'll provide the $185,000. So we began to change, and Sam Bible began to change. And so we went back to him again this last week, and Sam Bible's heart had changed. And now it's $165,000. His heart had changed $20,000. It's a pretty good change, huh? So, God's working. He's worked on Sam. He's worked on us. We've talked a lot about this thing, and we are sure that God wants us to have this building. And so we're right now in a very, very close place as far as negotiations with Him. We're just about to get together. The offer that we've now given to Sam Bible is a note for $100,000. There are some $5,000 to $6,000 of back taxes on the property that we'll pay him. Dewey Hammond owns this building, and Dewey is going to just give it to the kingdom of God towards this building. And he probably didn't even want me to tell you that, but you found it out anyway. But anyway, we're giving a value of it at $35,000. So what we're offering him is $140,000 plus tax credit for donating for a charitable cause. Am I right so far? Am I on my figures? Where's Dewey? There you go. Am I correct? All right. So that's what we're talking to him about. And the tax credit, we figured, would be worth about $13,000 to $16,000. So what we're really at right now is about $156,000. Key being this, if he will allow us to do that, the $35,000 for the building. That's where we're at. So we are at the difference of this, $165,000 and $156,000. There's no longer any doubt that that's our building. No longer.
Hallelujah.
Now, we're getting closer and closer. We will approach him again this coming Friday. He's got to go before some tax things. He's going to look at the building, and then we'll know more this coming weekend. Now, we know for a surety that we're going to move in that thing for $165,000. We need $165,000. Sam Bible will finance it at 9%. But beyond this $165,000, there's going to be some immediate furnishings. Plus, we've got to come up with $5,000 immediately to pay off the due taxes. That's what he's wanting. He wants to get that tax burden off of him. $5,000 to $6,000 we've got to have immediately. $6,000. Immediately. Right, it will be deducted from the $165,000. It's off of the total. Now, we've got to go in there. We've got to do some furnishings. We've got to buy some chairs. We've got to get the water, the utilities turned on, electricity, phones. All of that's got to happen. We've got to carpet it. We've got to paint it. We've got to make it physically attractive so that we can do the work of the ministry in it. We talked yesterday, over 90 days, we figured that we're going to need that. So we're talking $16,000. That's furnishing it with chairs, the PAs, all of the things that's got to happen there. That's fixing it up so that there is an alternative in Lafayette to drugs and to abortion and to homosexualities and to all of those things, and that the work of the kingdom can begin and go forth from there, and people can come and be ministered to there. It'll be a location where we can bring in prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and we can invite the whole city if we want to, and they can all come and have a word of prophecy put on their life. It's a place where apostles can come in there and do the work of the ministry. It's a place where we can bring people in and have them delivered.
Praise God.
Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus said, over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they had did cast in from their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. The NIV Bible says all that she had to live on. I want to present a charge to you. We have some people in our fellowship who can give from their abundance. We have people in our fellowship who are as this widow. And for you to give, it's going to be a real sacrifice. You will be giving from your very living. But I want to give you the charge today that such is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what the kingdom of God is made up of, is those who can give from their abundance, but also the widow who can just give the 2 widows' mites. And what I want to present to us this morning is this. God's not watching how much you give. God's watching how you give. We're going to leave here today, and I'm going to tell you, you see the figures that we've got to have immediately. We're not capping it. I'm believing God. I don't want to tell you what I'm believing God for. But I'm believing God that more than this is going to be coming in. I'm believing God that more than that's going to be coming as a contribution towards this cause. Because I really believe that you're catching a hold of the vision that God's given this fellowship and why God's put this fellowship together. So that we can go forth and attack the kingdom of darkness. So that we can go forth and wage war against those principalities and those powers. That we can go forth and come against the devil and abortion and drugs and homosexuality and humanisms and all of those things that we listed. That's why we're here.
Amen.
We're not here to have another church.
Amen, amen.
My Lord, there must be 100 churches here. There's not a dominant one here. There's not a one that's going against those things that I listed up there. Not in a way where they're being persecuted.
Amen.
I want to be persecuted.
Hallelujah.
I want to go against them. I want people to say, there he goes.
Praise God.
I do.
Hallelujah.
I want to wage war against the devil.
Yes.
was in, you know, most of you know about the prophecy that was put over me and my family here last week. And we were down there with that prophet, and I hung on him, man. I hung on to his coattail. Everywhere he went, I tried to go. They wouldn't let me go most of the place, but I went everywhere they'd let me go. One thing that he said, you'll find in Revelation chapter 12, don't turn there. You'll know the scripture when I quote it. And it says, they overcame him, speaking of the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. All right. There's initial salvation, blood of the Lamb. You understand that?
Amen.
Initial salvation. Then it said there's a second one. Word of the testimony. There's your Holy Ghost baptism. There's your power. There's your dunamis. There's your ability to testify. There's your power. Jesus says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall go into all the earth and be a witness for me.
Amen.
Then there's another one. And we leave out that one. That one hurts. Because you see, the third part of that is what, Dewey? They love not their life unto the death. And as he shared that scriptures with me, I began to see where I was. I received initial salvation. I even told Herb Cole I was saved. I speak in tongues. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just to speak in tongues, but to have the power that I can become a witness unto Him.
Amen.
But I'm loving not my life unto death. And I look back at the trail that I've laid the last year or so. And I see I'm laying it all down for Him. Nothing else matters anymore but the kingdom of God. I want to set my face as a flint, just like Jesus did for Jerusalem, for the church, for the kingdom of God. I want to go forth. I want the kingdom of God to be manifest right here. I want to be a part of it. They love not their life unto death. I don't care about Delbert anymore. I don't care what they say anymore. No reputation anymore. I want to see the kingdom manifest. I want to present you with a charge. We've got, do look around and you'll see we can't last much longer here. We've prayed about this. We believe this is the building that God wants us to have. We need cash. We need it immediately. This week, I want you to spend time in prayer before God. I want you to talk to your spouse. I want you to get together in one mind and in one accord, because next week when we come together, I want you to tell me what you'll be able to give immediately and then in the next 90 days. If you can't do it in 90 days, what you can do in the next 6 months. If you can't do what you can do in the next year. I want to know what God has spoken to you.
Praise you, Jesus.
You see the immediate need. Now, here again, the reason that I project this scripture to you is because that we do have some who can give from their abundance. All I'll have to do is not go out to eat so much. All I'll have to do is cut back a few corners, and I can give that into the building. But there's not, everybody's not that way. And everybody is dependent so much on today. And I know that, and I recognize that. So this is totally without any kind of condemnation. This is totally from your heart. I want you to seek God. You ask God what you can give, what you should give, and then you come forth with what you can do. But I want you to spend time with your spouse. I want you to spend time in prayer. Fast about it if you need to. But we've got a work to do. God's raising up a dominant church in this area.
Amen.
He's raising up somebody, something, someplace, every place, every community that's going against those things that I listed up there, that's going against the kingdom of darkness, not just in word, but in deed. Not just talky-talky, but walkie-walkie. Not just talking the kingdom, but living the kingdom. Not just by faith it's going to happen, but by being a part of what is happening and by causing it to come forth and by putting ourselves as our lives, even loving it, not our lives unto death. He's raising up a people like that today.
Amen.
Nothing else matters but the kingdom of God. I could stop here and go into the three eunuchs. You know the story that Jesus told about the eunuchs. One eunuch's a eunuch because he was born that way. Another eunuch's a eunuch because man made him that way. But there's another eunuch who's a eunuch for the kingdom of God. That's all he wants to produce is the kingdom of God.
Praise God.
All he wants to produce. Nothing else. Not his own name, not his own reputation, but the kingdom of God. How many want to have a eunuch church that produces nothing but the kingdom? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God's doing something. He's doing it in me. I know He's doing it in you. Things are happening, and I really can't. I wish I could just take time sometimes and just share you what's in my heart, what's in my very spirit of what's going on inside of me. I get excited, and we was praying one night up here, and I had just got back last week being that prophet, and I said, God, you got to slow me down. And Dewey Hammond laid hands on me and says, No, Lord, don't do that. Don't do that. And then I told him what the Lord was speaking to me and why I told him to slow me down a little bit. And the rest of them said, Well, do it, it's your fault. Because the Lord spoke to my heart about futuristically planning on purchasing of the newspaper, the messenger, so that we can have a voice in this city.
Amen. Glory. Praise God.
So that we can come against political corruption, so that we can come against abortion, so that we can come against pornography, so that we can pinpoint these things and make them spectacles so that they'll have to get that junk out of there.
Praise God, praise God.
That's a voice.
Amen.
The messenger. Elijah ministry. Amen.
Praise God.
They thought I was crazy. They did. Ted went home and had company Jim coming up. Jim told him about this fella down there that's got a newspaper. Then wrote out all, everything about, what was it?
Pornography.
Then wrote out all the pornography in that city because he had that newspaper.
Praise God.
That's the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand. I'll stand here and talk. Let's stand. Join hands with that one next to you, please. What you are doing right now is you're touching the body of Christ. Don shared this morning. You are touching now the body of Christ. You are handling Jesus. Can you understand that? You are handling Him. John said in 1 John chapter 1, it says that we handle the word of life. What you're handling right now is the word of life to this city. Because it's in the right hand and the left hand that you're holding on to. That life will come forth from this fellowship. That life will come forth, not in just these four walls, not in any four walls, but will spread forth to Tryon and to Somerville and to Chickamauga and to Rock Springs and to all of this area. There's going to come life from what you're holding on to. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Lord, right now, burn these thoughts into the minds and into the spirits of these people. Lord, let us understand that the kingdom of God is at hand. Is at hand. It's in our right hand and it's in our left hand. That's the kingdom of God. It's at hand.
Hallelujah.
It's here, Jesus. Oh, Lord, it's in the building. It's in the newspaper. It's in the radio station. It's in whatever you tell us to do, Lord, as long as we're obedient unto you.
Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The kingdom of God is at hand and the kingdom of God is within you.
Praise God, praise God.
The kingdom of God has come to Lafayette. Lord, we pray. Our Father, pray with me, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the glory, for thine is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.